The RetroBuzz starts right after this.
Welcome to another edition of the Retro Buzz. It's Friday night. It's coronavirus night. No, I'm just kidding. But this guy has been having an awful week. We've got Mr. Glenn Planamento. And what do you have now? What do you have in the cup besides Angels?
It was filled with everything alcoholic, but I got to get a refill.
Oh boy,
it's been a tough week.
Well,
tough week.
Well, you better get that filled up and get situated because we have an awesome show. We've got Mr. Douglas Smith from YouTube.com/CoolToy.
Glad to be here.
He's getting pounded with hail, so he warned us that if he disappears, it's okay. He's still there. He didn't get blown away, right, Doug?
Or I did. I may just get smoten off the map.
So we have a special guest with us today, but before we get to that, we want to talk about... Well, actually, Glenn, you know what? There's not really any news to talk about this week because of the coronavirus.
Are you sure there's no news? I actually think there is some news, to be quite honest.
Well, what would that be?
Well, I don't know. I think a friend of mine may have went out and bought himself a TurboGrafx 16 who didn't have one before. And seems to really be enjoying it. Would that be you who purchased a TurboGrafx 16 and really enjoying it?
I have to say, I have been playing this thing nonstop since I got it, and I've been playing it on RF on a high definition TV. So what does that tell you? Most people are out there cringing.
It is a system that, like so many in the past, that did get a bad rap. Just didn't take off in the States. But man, it is a good system, and that's why, as you're finding out right now, everything in that thing is a fortune. That's when you know you have a good classic system. If it was a bad classic system, everything would still be $5 on it.
But
right now,
I've been finding
steals. You
can't
get anything under 50.
I've been finding
steals.
You have.
That drives me crazy.
I bought.
You're getting these great deals.
So check this out. It didn't get here yet, but I bought an official Bonks Adventure, the original, with the box that was normally going for anywhere from $80 to $160. I got it for $50 shipped to my house.
Nice.
Right.
$50.
The worst part of this whole deal is not that. But now I can never go to your house. Your wife will beat the crap out of me because I'm spending all your money.
So that's
enabling.
What's that, Doug?
Oh, you're being enabled by Glenn. So yeah,
well,
I am a total enabler.
I found this website that you can buy stuff super cheap, and it's not eBay or Craigslist, but it was one, and I was like,
you won't tell anybody. Save it for yourself.
I gave it to you. Yeah. But you can buy these complete. So I've been doing that. So yeah, you're right. Also, one other bit of news was, speaking of the TurboGrafx 16, the Mega Drive, right? People started getting that.
The Mega Drive? You're talking about the PC Engine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the PC Engine.
Engine.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Mega Drive? That's been out for a while.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, HA Prime got his. I know Mandel Pixel got his. Glenn Planamento's will be here any day. It's not here yet, but it's on its way. Play some PC Engine stuff in the house over here.
And
but yeah,
Doug, it scares me because Mad Little Pixel said it's really good, except for a little bit of shuddering in it.
That is alarming when he has something positive to say. Something. I mean, it's kind of off brand. It goes against his Mad Little image. Yep. So, but that is good. I mean, I had high expectations and high hopes that it would be good. Like I said, I missed out on the TurboGrafx and the PC Engine and all that growing up, so I'm anxious to dive into it and experience it firsthand. I do have a question for you, Steven. Since you're enjoying your TurboGrafx, would you say you're enjoying it more than, say your memories of a Sega Genesis?
Oh, I knew you were going to do that to me. I knew you were going to...
Be truthful.
Let me get through the honeymoon... Let me get through the honeymoon phase, which is this weekend probably, because I just got it yesterday. I would say I really enjoyed Bonks. I've beaten beginner and intermediate. So my son did too. My son was sitting there and he's like, oh, I really like it. But then again, I like the simplistic of the, just like the Nintendo, it's got two buttons, one and two. But I will tell you,
got built in turbo buttons.
Well, okay.
The turbo buttons are built in.
So let me say that, Doug. So I'm sitting there playing Bonks and I could not understand for the life of me why he wasn't jumping so high, and I could do it on my arcade one up with the Raspberry Pi. And I'm sitting here going, is this how it is? It's emulated. So they made it jump higher. And
James
then my, yeah. So then I hit the button on my thumb and it was a slider, and I'm like, what is this? So I Googled it and it's a turbo button. I never had one as a kid. So I pulled it all the way off, and I'm like, now he's jumping like he should be, and Glenn's sitting over here laughing. So, anyways.
Well, yeah, I was laughing at you, not with you. That helped.
Well, yeah, you were laughing. But I would say right now the Sega Saturn and the TurboGrafx-16 are my two go-to. So I'll leave it at a tie, at least for this week. Next week I might have a different opinion.
Wait until you get that Pong console. Then we'll talk.
On that note, let's introduce our guest who's been waiting patiently through this banter. We have a very special guest joining us. We've got Mr. Richie Knuckles from kingofarcades.com. Welcome, sir.
The King of Arcades in the house!
Raising the roof there. Oh, there he is. And look, he's got us all beat. He's got that big Kaboom cabinet back there.
Yeah, my neighbor, Mary Parker, would go nuts over that. She wipes the floor with me every time we play it. Every time.
Well,
that's why I lost the color. My beard from that, actually.
So
send it off.
So Richie, before we get into this, I was watching the documentaries, and I'll go on record to say I had never seen the documentaries before this past Saturday. I know I'll put their expressions up because these guys are like, what? So I'm sitting here watching this, and I was watching your documentary as one, and I'm not saying that because you're on the show, but I did like it the best. It was the most entertaining because I grew up in the punk rock era. I was in a band. I did that whole, I went through all that. Right. So I'm sitting here watching. I'm like, this is pretty cool. And I saw you were from Jersey. So I'm going, I wonder if this guy would come on the show. And so I'm like doing super sleuthing. I'm going through the internet and I'm going, oh, there's his email address. I'm going to email him. So I said to Glenn, I'm like, hey, do we have any openings? He says, why? I said, well, because, you know, I want to try to get a guest. He goes, I said, who do we have this week? He goes, Richie Knuckles. I'm like, dang you. I'm like, I was actually going to reach out to him. I'm like, no, we seriously have him. I was like, we seriously have him? He's like, yeah, dude, he's excited. He's coming on. So
if I had to give my kidney to get Richie to come on, he was like, I don't know. He's like, I got this documentary. I'm kind of a big dude around here. And I said, listen, I got a kidney. You can take it. You know, I have five copies of certain things. You can have four copies. Just come on the show. And I can't, because of the contract I had to sign, I can't tell you everything I had to do, but we got him on the show. Thank you for joining him.
You're gonna embarrass the poor guy.
Nah, I don't get embarrassed.
So anyways, welcome to the show. So for those that may, like me, lived under a rock all these years, why don't you give a little briefing to everybody about, you know, how long you've been doing this?
Well, we just discovered I'm the oldest guy on the show.
It pains me to hear that.
Most just realized seasoned. That I'm older than all you guys, probably put together. And I've been doing this since I was 19.
Wow.
So.
Awesome.
30-something years, 33 years.
Wow.
Maybe more.
And hats off to your wife, because I know it takes a special lady to put up with all this stuff. I know she's a trooper. You know, she's stood by you this whole time.
She's a see you next Tuesday. We're divorced.
Oh, way to go, Glenn.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Here, Glenn. Here. All right. Where's my Q-Bert? Because I got to put it in my mouth every time.
All right, so that's strike one for Glenn.
Here's a true quick story. Okay, I started a job a few years ago.
I need a piece of duct tape to put over his thing right there.
I'm telling you. This is a true story that'll make me feel better, you guys, but hopefully everyone feel better. So I started this new job, and this woman was pregnant. And the first time I met her at the job, and obviously she's pregnant, so I assume she's married, right? You assume that. So we're talking. I'm like, oh, hope you and your husband, you know, are very, you know, proud of this. And she's like, oh, we are. And then she leaves. I sit down, and my new boss looks at me and goes, your husband died 2 weeks ago. I'm like,
oh,
really?
Man.
I'm like, really? Thanks. I'm like, really? How was I supposed to know that? How was I supposed to know? So my foot's always in my mouth. It tastes great. That's why I wear pancake shoes.
You know, oh, my goodness. Way to go, Glenn.
I'm barefoot.
So on that note, hey, he likes Space Invaders, and I am also a huge fan. He's got the world record. Before I put my foot in my mouth again, are you still the world holder of Space Invaders?
It all depends. A guy from Australia beat the score that Twin Galaxies had for me, but I had a score, which I still have a score, 250,000, so quite a bit higher than the score that he got. But according to Twin Galaxies, my buddy out in Australia actually has the world record, John Tannehill.
Wow. Are you going to try and dethrone him? Are you going to go back and try and...
No, because I already have a higher score, and I could give a shit about Twin Galaxies. Sorry. I don't care about Twin Galaxies, so...
Fair enough, yeah. So how long did it take you to actually reach that goal?
What saying, then. He's a huge fan of Space Invaders, and I am. Now, sorry, Doug. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, how long did it take you to actually reach that goal as far as gameplay time? Give or take.
A long time. Probably playing, because I had before the coronavirus, my arcade was still open. And whenever we were slow, I would play whatever game I picked, and I would just play it for hours on end. So 4 hours a day and in between customers coming in. So I guess it probably took about a year, 2 years of solid playing. And I not only quadrupled the score that was from the past, I think I might have, like, let's see, if it was 30,000, I got 250,000. So
wow,
a lot
yeah.
high.
And I tell you, you know, those type of games, you know, they get increasingly difficult. The whole point of those old games is really just reflexes. To get a score like that in Space Invaders, I mean, I probably cleared 10 levels. I can't even imagine how many levels you went through to get that score. And I love Space Invaders.
Back then, I was so good that I never died once. The only reason the game ended is because there's a thing, it's like a kill screen in the game that the game kills itself as the invaders drop, it thinks that it's firing on you, but it really hits itself and it takes the guy away from you. And that happened. I call it a whammy. Remember that TV show?
Oh, yeah.
No whammy. I actually got, yeah, press your luck. I actually got 4 whammies in that game. So I never once lost my life because of error. It was just 4 whammies.
I wasn't even aware the Space Invaders had a kill screen.
It's not really a kill screen. It's a glitch that you die by with for no reason.
Well, that's a kill screen. That's, you know, the game glitches out and you can't go any further. But I did not even know that.
Yeah, you call it whatever you want to call it. I call it a whammy.
So we're for every time Glenn sticks his foot in his mouth, we're going to call it a whammy.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
You could do that. It's going to be a lot of whammies.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about why the King of Arcade documentary, what caused them to come to you and write that and do the documentary? Was it, did you reach out to anybody, or did they just kind of stumble on you that, hey, this guy's refurbishing cabinets and trying to keep this alive? Tell us the backstory.
It was all because of the Kongoff. We went to see, called up and invited to be on the Today Show in Manhattan. And Bill Mitchell was on the show, and they asked me to bring in a bunch of Donkey Kong cabinets. And they were promoting the King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters. And I went into the city and I met Bill Mitchell for the first time. And we were talking about how in the movie, they made it sound like Bill would never or was scared to actually play head-to-head in a contest environment against Steve Wiebe. So after seeing the movie, I reached out to him and said, why don't we do a Donkey Kong competition where you and Steve Wiebe sit down and actually play Donkey Kong head to head? And he was like, all right, if you put it together, I'll think about it. Maybe, you know, I might be in. And I went above and beyond, and I went and started researching and trying to find the best 10 Donkey Kong players in the world. And I wound up meeting Hank Chen. I wound up meeting this guy named Dean Saglio, all the best Donkey Kong players in the world, all came to Flemington, New Jersey to be in the first, what is now known as the Kong Off. And we're up to number 8 US and 3 Australian. And during the Kong Off, there was a gentleman there that had made a few horror films. He made his name in the horror film industry. And he basically said to me, this has got to be documented. Why is no one filming this? Well, there were people filming it. There was about 5 different filmmakers there, but he didn't know that at the time. He didn't see anybody with cameras, but he wound up taking all their footage and his footage. And it started out just to be a documentary about the Kong Off, but then it just took a life of its own. And he went and followed me with a camera for close to 3-4 years and just told this story, the story that is the documentary.
Interesting.
But it was basically to put, you know, to document the history of the Kong Off is how it started.
Hmm.
And if you notice, I was never asked to play in any of them, and for good reason. I'm not good at it.
Yeah, that would not be, that would not, that. So one of the things that I noticed, and again, I'm going to speak this as a guy that didn't know any of you guys before watching the documentaries, and I don't know, Glenn, Doug, if you want to chime in here, but Billy Mitchell on this, and I don't know the guy, I'm not judging the guy, he comes off as really pompous and arrogant in the documentaries. Is that really how he is in real life? Is it, or is that like a shtick he's doing for the cameras? I mean, like, I saw the way he was, I saw the way he was treating Steve Wiebe, I guess that's how you say his name, on it. I mean, he just like, it was like he was purposely antagonizing him, but then he would stop, and he was getting joy out of it. Is that really how he is?
He and I are friends, but he's definitely arrogant. He has this persona that he likes to keep up for the people.
Yeah,
and you know, you won't ever see him without the tie and the suit. Character. It's a character he's playing.
Okay.
But yes, he's cocky. There's no doubt about
I mean,
it.
I've seen him do interviews. Don't get me wrong. Like, he hasn't turned people down for interviews, so I just assumed it was just like, you know.
It's his shtick, but he's a good friend and he's a good family man.
Yeah.
But I also like Steve Wiebe a lot too. Steve Wiebe's a very good guy as well.
I think he's on the list, right, Glenn, to try to get on here?
Yeah, we have him on the list. We also have Walter Day. They're all on the list.
They're on the list.
With them seeing put my foot in my mouth only like 5 times in one episode, maybe they'll go, oh, I don't know.
So I've got a question about the King of Kong tournament. So when you were putting this together and you're researching, you're putting, you know, your top 10 list of the best Kong players out there, did you have a personal favorite, somebody that you're rooting for, or were you just like, hey, I just want to see, you know, best person win? Did you have an underdog you were maybe keeping an eye out, or how did this whole process kind of come about for you as far as the selection?
That's a good, very good question. Of course, I made a lot of friends doing this. And of course, you know, certain people you bond with. Mm-hmm. And in the first Kong Off, I really just wanted it to be, it was stressful. It was part of the reason why I'm divorced, in all honesty. And the first one, I didn't really care who won. I just wanted the event to go off without a hitch and be a really good event and something for people to talk about for the ages. But as we got up to like Kong Off 4 and then Kong Off 5, then of course, yes, I do have my favorites.
So it looks like.
But he's not going to share
that. He's not going to share it. That's right.
Yeah, there's Bobby Lakeman is the current, I think he has the current high score on Donkey Kong. Officially, Robbie Lakeman, I think, has the highest score on Donkey Kong skill. There's somebody else, I don't know his name, but that I may have got a score higher than him, but I don't think it's official yet, but I don't know. I haven't been really have been out of it quite a bit, but Robbie Lakeman's one of my favorites. There's also a guy named Ethan Daniels, who's one of my favorites. And then the guy from Canada, really, I don't know if you ever saw him. He's big muscled kid, really, really funny. Vincent LeMay. So like him a lot too. He's a good guy.
Speaking of...
The interesting thing, Joe, is when you think about these classic games, they do have a kill screen. Is there a maximum score? Like Donkey Kong has that kill screen. Is there a maximum score you can get that no one can get any higher?
Are you joking?
I would never joke with a question like that.
How little do you know about the game Donkey Kong?
Well, I've only got through each level about once.
basically, it wrecked the game Donkey Kong for people who enjoyed playing the game because it went from playing the game and trying to get as far as you can to realizing that there's a spot that the game ends, and now you have to grind every single point out of every single board, which they coin now. It's called point pressing.
Yeah, okay.
And it makes the game intolerable to play. It's no fun at all.
Oh, man.
Well, see, that's why I wouldn't know about it, because pressing is like bench pressing, which I don't do. So that's why I didn't realize that.
So Pitbull in the chat room, speaking of muscles, he says, hey, tell Richie buddy it's Steve.
Steve P.
Sorry. He's in the YouTube chat room, and he goes by the username Pitbull. He's a big muscular dude. That's all.
I think my daughter went to see him in concert.
Okay.
Right? Pitbull?
I don't think it's that Pitbull. That's just his user. That's just his user handle in there.
Not Mr. Worldwide.
Doug, right there. Oh. Steve.
Steve Poten.
Potienzo?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Steve. Good guy.
He was trying to get your attention on YouTube, and I'm like, no, he doesn't have that chat pulled up.
Can you flash the video, the website Video Game 911 for me real quick?
I sure can.
After we're done, if any of you guys have consoles or anything that you needed fixed, please go to this website. This is where we repair anything you have, from pinballs all the way down to consoles. There's nothing we can't fix. So please take this time. If you're going to be sitting at home because of the coronavirus, have nothing to do. If you have a broken console, send it here. We will first disinfect it. We have a disinfecting light. And then after we disinfect it, we will send it back to you. And then you can sit at home while you're quarantined for the next few years. Thank you very much.
No, thinking about that with Doug, with the TurboGrafx-16, like what would happen if that broke? I know you would be happy.
Yeah, I mean, I would be happy because I would have something to jab fun at Glenn. But honestly, no, it's great there's a service out there that, you know, you can ship this off and somebody that knows what they're doing can actually fix this and get it up and running. So that's awesome.
We're the guys to do it. So send it on out to Denville, New Jersey.
There we go. So
speaking of, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to go down that road of Jersey. You said you had a story about that. Yeah, so for those that don't know, I grew up in eastern Pennsylvania, which is near Easton. If you cross over the Free Bridge, you're now in Phillipsburg, New Jersey. And I was talking to Richie earlier, and I said, you know, my dad used to work in Phillipsburg, New Jersey, right on the freeway there. He worked for a printing company, and Richie's like, oh, I got a story for you about that in Phillipsburg. So I just wanted to preface that's where this came from.
I was in a band called Knuckle Sandwich, how I got the name Richie Knuckles, of course. And we had been on tour from 2000, right around the millennia change. And we got back from tour and I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I had collected arcade games in the past. And I don't know, I had a basement full of arcade games. And I said, you know what? When I get home, I'm going to open a bar/arcade. And now this was right around 2001. All right. So I put together a few of my friends that had money and we bought. Do you remember where the Free Bridge is in Phillipsburg?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you're in Easton.
Yes.
You're on the Easton side. You go across the Free Bridge. And as soon as you get over the Free Bridge on the left, was that railway car that was a go-go bar?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they had Jimmy's hot dogs right there.
Right there on the left. Look straight ahead, that building. I bought that building.
No, sir.
That building was a 4-story hotel. had a liquor license, and that was going to be our bar, arcade, and live music.
That would have did wonders for that area.
Right? And they were in the middle. It was right when they first started talking about doing the whole rejuvenation of Phillipsburg, like getting businesses yep. to get grants yep. and all that. And we were had really high hopes for this. So I started bringing in my arcade games, my pinball machines, and the liquor license was in the middle of being transferred. We thought there'd be no reason for the liquor license to get tied up, and it flooded. The water came up above the first floor and onto the, like, 5 feet into the second floor.
Whoa.
Holy cow.
Wow.
Yeah. So damage destroyed all the games that I had brought in. I only brought in, I had a couple jukeboxes. I had a couple arcade games, but I didn't bring in anything that was rare yet because Phillipsburg was still a little bit of a dangerous part of town. And,
well, let's preface this. Let's preface this so people know this is the Delaware River that runs underneath the Free Bridge, which is prone yes. to it's flooding. And if you look up the 1956 or 1952 flooding, all of downtown Easton was and Phillipsburg was underwater.
Yeah.
So
that dream came to a screeching halt, and lost my life savings and really didn't know what to do, and then decided, you know what? I don't need a liquor license. I'm just going to open up my own little corner of the world that you can come and play retro arcade games. And this was, I guess, around 2003, 2004. And we just started repairing arcade games. I started bringing in my collection, and I feel I was first in. Other than places like Fun Spot, was around. There was a few arcades like throughout the Midwest that were, you know, left over from the 80s. But even the place in Seattle, Ground Control, wasn't even open yet. So I was one of the first people to try to bring this hobby back.
Wow, that would have done so much for that downtown area, because it was, if you guys knew, I don't know how to explain it, but it was really run down. That's the best way I can explain it. And like he was talking about that old bar that was there, like Jimmy's Hot Dogs. I mean, everybody knew what Jimmy's Hot Dogs was, man. If you lived in that area, you knew what it was. And I mean,
yeah,
you could just see
the
it, man.
It was a boxcar.
Yeah.
But yeah, but so we moved over to Flemington and I opened my place, and the rest is history. So that's why a lot of people that are really into this hobby, if they look back, and you go back 15 years ago when everybody was on the Google groups, and then all of a sudden this website called KLOV, Killer List of Video Games, comes out. Everybody migrated over there and started talking. If you go back and search, I think I posted over there. You'll find posts from me 15, 20 years ago.
Wow.
Eminem
in the chat room wants to know, said...
Doug was, I think, what, 3?
We were both young. Eminem wants to know, he said, hey Richie, didn't you have flood insurance or any kind of insurance because of the area?
No, we were still in the middle of getting the liquor license, because until the liquor license was transferred, my business partners would not basically sign off and say, you know, we'll bought the building, it's all said and done. They wouldn't put their money in until the liquor license was officially transferred. So I lost everything I brought in because I was too, I was so excited. I was rambunctious. Right. I brought things in earlier. The people that own the building and I became friends. We had dinner. They gave me the keys. They let me in whenever I wanted. You know, I was just, you know, the way
you're
I am. Ho.
You're ready to start something up.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. I jumped the gun. If I didn't jump the gun, if I would have sat and let due process do its thing, I wouldn't have lost a dime.
Insane.
Now, see, you have so much money though invested in all the machines you've restored. I mean, you've restored a lot of machines. I assume you still have quite a few of them. Is there any insurance on them? They have to be very valuable at this point.
Hundreds upon hundreds of games.
Yeah.
I do not have any insurance. No, I do not. Not only do I not have insurance, I also am having a hard time figuring out how to give them all a roof. You know, keeping everything climate controlled and safe and out of the weather. Once you get up into having over 100 pinball machines, once you get into having over 300 arcade games, it almost, you have to have a really good job just to be able to put a roof over there.
What about doing something almost like a museum? I mean, these are old, and have, you know, the community help fund a building for it, or have the town fund a building to store these classic machines. And these things do need to be preserved, what you're doing. Can't the community or someone help you with a museum for these machines?
I'm not a big fan of crowdfunding. Everyone then thinks that, you know, of course, then they have a say in what you do. Mm-hmm. Not really a big fan of that. We are right now, because our business model is really healthy with what's going on right now, arcades are going to be hit hardest because you can't be anywhere where you are within 6 feet of another individual. You're walking in and you're playing games and your hands are on controls. The next person comes up and touches it, the virus gets transferred. So this is really going to hurt us really bad. If we can weather the next 6 months, whatever, how long this virus is going to take to be in control, and we find a solution, you know, stop taking Advil, whatever you got to do. Hopefully we'll be poised to come out the other side with the best arcade museum in New Jersey again. Our collection is immense. Our collection is amazing. Once this is all said and done, we're going to open up bigger and better than ever. We just have to be able to, like this Sunday, sorry, not this Sunday, next Sunday, I'm having an arcade auction. It's on a Facebook page called Arcade Exchange. And I will be selling parts, like game boards, and then other different like collectibles, like signed copies of the movie, stuff like that, for the whole night. Sunday night, I guess from 6 o'clock on, I'll be auctioning stuff off. And that will help us to be able to keep a roof over the heads of these games while really we can't make any money with them because of the coronavirus.
Well, let's see if we can help you here with this, because what about, okay, so you have these signed copies of the documentary. Mm-hmm. Is there a place that people can go and buy those if they want a signed copy of that right now?
Yeah, absolutely. You just PM me on Facebook, find me on Twitter or Facebook, Richie Knuckles with a Z, and just send me a little PM saying, hey, I want one of those signed copies. They're $30 shipped to your door, and I have 8 of them left. Well, after these 8 are gone, you'll never be able to get a hard copy again. We're not running them again. Well, this is the last.
I'm going to beat Glenn to it, because Glenn's going to want 5 of them. I'll tell you right now, I'll take one. I'll square up with you at PayPal, whatever, afterwards. They'll shoot you a message.
Thank you.
So we got one.
There's two.
Oh, you're
for me.
All right, Glenn's going to do one. So do we have, can we sell all 8 of these out right now?
Three
gone. Oh, there's three. So we got 3. Now. 3 are gone.
Yeah, I'm glad I came on this show.
So 3 of them are gone right now. So that means you have what? Five. I can't do math. 5 left. That's 2. I've been doing math all day. Leave me alone. We got another one in the chat room. Adam Kalb, I think I said Adam Kalb. He said he'll take one. So now there's 4 left.
All right, so it's a I only have 4 left then. So anybody else wants them, sign up. Signed copies. And again, I'm not joking, we're not reissuing these again. We were supposed to do a Blu-ray.
P-Dubs wants one. So now you have 3 left.
Boom.
Yes, I love this show.
I'm telling you, that's why I said, let's put it out there. Let's see if we can help. Listen, this is, you know, yeah, I have the documentary. I bought it on Amazon. But you know what? Having a piece of that in the studio, and I'm sure, Doug, you're thinking the same thing.
Right.
I'll leave it in the cellophane. It's a nice knickknack that I can put up.
And stacks of physical media.
I'm going to put
me.
It.
I preach physical media days on end. So absolutely. I'm proud to support physical media.
I'm going to put it right with my, and I know he's a fan of this too, right on my Zaxxon.
There you go.
Right over my Zaxxon, because I know it's one of his games as well.
Zaxxon's one of the games I'm pretty good at.
All right, you have 2 left. Angel wants
good at that too.
Angel wants one, so there's 2 left.
All right.
Woo-hoo! So
two left.
You're not even gonna make it this Sunday. You're gonna be all sold out.
I think you should have made the price like $300 a copy. You made a little bit more, but all right.
Like high ticket items. Let me show you some. Give you a sample of something else that we're selling. Hold on.
All right. No worries.
Right?
No worries.
Like, wait a second.
No,
Hold on. It's not that kind of show.
He just jumped
Everything
out real quick.
Must go.
No, I think it's cool. I think it's something to keep in there, not something I'll pass down to my son. I'm sure Glenn, you'll do the same thing.
Hey, my son will use it as a coaster. But I will share it. It'll be with me.
Did you think I was gonna take my pants down?
I don't know. You say I got some high ticket items, and you're going like this. Like, oh, wait a second.
All right, so something like this. These are the marquees that.
Oh, check that out.
Right, wow. And they're professionally made. This was the Australian one, signed by the guys in Australia.
That's
impressive. And it's in a light box, and you can buy stuff like this. And this is this Sunday, and I have a lot of different. One of the guys on the thread called it lifestyle items. So I sell a bunch of, you know, keepsakes and fun stuff. And then I always throw in, Walter Day does this trading card series. And then I always throw in free signed trading cards. That's the latest trading card. I don't know if you can see it, but that's a Walter Day's trading card right there. So I throw these in as gifts with everybody that, buy something.
So guys, we started out with 8 signed copies of the documentary. We're down to 2. Let's see if we can sell these out before the end of the show. We've only got 25 minutes left. So throw it in the chat room and make your commitment. We're going to PM him after the show.
Home shopping show right here.
Well, no, I mean, it's for a good cause. Everybody says they like the arcades. They like the arcades. They want to help. This is a way you can help. I know everybody, we've done it too.
Tell Adam $200 is right around where the marquees go for. That's like a fair price. And I'm going to be auctioning it on Sunday. But since he was one of the guys that said he was going to buy the DVD too, tell him he's got a deal. $200.
$200. Nice. $200, Adam. You got it because you're buying the DVD.
You'll see on Sunday. I'll probably go the other ones because I have a few more Kong off 2s, a few more Kong off 4s, you'll see it'll go up over $200. So that's actually fair.
$200, $200, $210, $210. I got $210 over there, $215.
Well done.
If you were a little bit better, I'd say higher.
So now you have 2 signed copies so far left. We've gone through all that. So the reason I wanted to ask you this question coming up, and Doug and Glenn, if you have some stuff, jump in. But I want to know, with everybody doing console gaming now, I know my kid, he was really interested in, he didn't know what Pac-Man was. He gets on his bus and he's like telling his buddies, hey, my dad's got Pac-Man in his basement. And they're kind of like looking at him cross-eyed, like, what is Pac-Man? It's not Fortnite. Now that you have the arcade open, are you seeing a lot of the younger generation coming in and playing these arcades, or are you seeing more the guys like our age that grew up with this stuff coming in and playing those arcades?
Well, my daughter is 13, and one of my favorite things about being a dad and having the arcade is my daughter Faith. She is like, she's probably better than all you guys at Donkey Kong.
Probably.
She's probably the second best girl, female Donkey Kong player on the planet. She can get over 100,000. And wow. To see her bring her friends and anybody, like say a father brings their 10-year-old son there, my daughter will then come over and go, hey, come on, let's play Mortal Kombat. Let's play this.
Yeah.
And it's a very good mix, but it's mostly fathers in their 40s, late 30s, 50s, bringing their children in to show them what a true arcade is like.
Yeah.
Our place in Denville, it's on Route 53. And again, when we're able to reopen because of this awful virus, after we reopen, you'll be able to see we made it just like in the 80s so that it's dark and, you know, it feels like you're a time warp back into the, you know, the days when this stuff was like new and everybody, you know, to walk up to it, you were sort of like mesmerized. You know, the kids are jaded today. If it's not super. All right, you got your finger up. I can't talk.
Oh, no, no. I'm just saying there's one left. You have one left.
You're about to say something.
Derek Smith is buying one. So you have one left.
Everybody PM me. I thank you guys so much. Do you know we have so much to talk about? We haven't got to anything. I don't want this to be.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
But one thing I got to say real quick, and then you can talk. I am so jealous. Well, jealous of a lot of things, but you met Nolan Bushnell, my idol. And
Nolan Bushnell, I was so shocked. He did his homework to figure out who I was. So when we met, he actually had been already on my show. I used to do a show like this on, it was back then, it was called Justin TV.
Yes. And I was on Justin TV.
He would come on the show and talk and just bullshit with us. So he was giving a, I guess you would call it a conference at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. And I shouted out something and he said, was that, you know, Richie? And then he actually brought me on and was like, this is my friend Richie Knuckles, everybody. And there's like 1,000 people in the room. And he actually knew who I was and remembered my name. So that was really, really, that was humbling.
Awesome.
He's an awesome guy. Him and Ralph Baer, I mean, they're the two grandfathers of the whole industry. And kids today don't know that or don't care, but they should. They started this whole thing
running out at the Smithsonian on loop in Ralph Baer's studio.
Wow.
You know how they made a recreation of Ralph Baer's studio at the Smithsonian?
Mm-hmm.
We did the final interview with Ralph Baer. And that interview is what is going on loop at the Smithsonian.
Wow.
So we were with Ralph Baer a week before he passed.
Just, it's a shame. You know, we lost a lot. We lost him. I feel horrible. I can't think of the gentleman's name who did the Fairchild Channel F. He's the guy who did the first cartridge-based console, and people forget about him as well. It's those three guys. It was Nolan Bushnell. Well, me, I was definitely, let me tell you something, man. When you were talking about before, the first time we went to an arcade, the first time I was probably 7 when Pong had come out, and let me correct that. 77, I was 8.
When Dinosaurs Roamed the Earth.
Wait a second. It was 78 for Space Invaders.
Oh, I just got a Pong. I just got the original Pong.
Arcade Pong?
What?
The arcade Pong?
The arcade game. The real deal. The yellow Pong, you know, the real deal.
You're going to make him cry, Richie.
Yeah,
I am. Number 14. Number 14. If you go on my Facebook and look, I put pictures of it. The original Pong.
He's going to melt down.
Space.
What'd you say? Have a what?
Computer space. You have one of those?
I don't have a computer space.
Okay. So I have a chance out in the world. Right.
I wish I did. And I don't have a one-up either. I don't have any arcade one-ups, you guys. So you need to get me at least a Space Invaders one so I can do a commercial.
Listen here. Yep. We just sold out all your DVDs. My family, the username my family in the chat room just said, he would take the last one. So all your DVDs are gone. They're done. Your marquee is done. What else do we need to get rid of?
I'm pretty sure Glenn is willing to trade his arcade one-up Space Invaders straight up for that Pong machine.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You know, wait a second. You got to throw something else in. You got to sweeten the deal for me to give that up. I mean, look at that Space Invaders over there.
Well, wait. Maybe Angel can put a lighted marquee on it. That would sweeten the deal a little bit.
Now we're talking.
Oh,
but not my Adventure Vision. That's got to stay.
This Sunday, don't forget, this Sunday at the auction, I'll be auctioning off stuff. Like, this was my first sign we ever had made for the arcade. It's a magnet, and that's phone numbers wrong. I'll be auctioning off stuff like little keepsakes from back in the day. And it also, watch this. Check it out. Woo!
Nice. That's like a game.
We're offering off a lot of fun stuff. So that's on Arcade Exchange this Sunday night. Not this Sunday, next Sunday. So like what? Like
the 3rd or 4th? 4th of April.
Yeah, 9 days away.
Yeah. So
it's a Facebook auction. You got to sign up for the, it's called Arcade Exchange. You have to sign up prior. Make sure that you ask to join, be a member, and then you can be part of the auction and win a whole bunch of fun stuff.
So the people that are, and we'll get on to some other, you know, some other topic here, but they want to know how all the ones that, like myself, and I already PM'd you, but other people that aren't your friend on Facebook, how can they, you know, commit to buy this and everything? They want to know, P-Dub says, please confirm how we should reach out to him after the show is wrapped for the DVD. Should they just put, hey, I was one of the viewers on the Retro Buzz. I offered to buy, you know, you already know who I am. So I didn't put that. I just said, hey, I committed to it, blah, 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 blah.
Can you put this up on the screen? 908? Can you put this up on the screen? 908?
I could probably hang on. Give me 1 second here.
Just put my phone number up there.
Okay. You sure you want to put that out publicly?
Yeah, I don't care. That's my business line.
Okay. All right, 908.
797.
Okay.
7901.
All right, I'll put it up on your lower third since it's a business number, and then people can touch base with you on that. Like I said, if you're friends with them on Facebook, just send them a message on Facebook for that. You guys, I have to say, you guys really got me into a pickle with all this by having me watch these documentaries because,
look at that.
Marquee as well.
There's another marquee.
This is the third one. And see, it's like a real marquee. It isn't cheap. It's like the real deal. Rich from This Old Game made these. And this one is signed by Steve Wiebe right there and Billy Mitchell.
Wow.
So this was the third Kong off. We have these for sale as well. And this Sunday, I'll be selling stuff like this.
Very cool. It's definitely stuff you can't find anywhere else.
Yeah, it's fun because I have so much of this stuff, but it's a piece of history, arcade history, that only goes up in value. I've had so many people contact me and say, oh, wow, I heard you have like the very first poster that Twin Galaxies ever made, poster 001. And of course, I'll never sell that. But in this filing cabinet right there, down in the bottom drawer, I have like old photos from, because I don't know if you knew this, but I owned Twin Galaxies right after Walter sold it to Pete Bouvier. And then I got it after Pete Bouvier, along with a gentleman named Jordan Adler. He and I together owned Twin Galaxies.
Very cool. But I know that.
Right during my divorce, and I basically gave it away because it's a long story. That'll be in my book. But I was the owner of Twin Galaxies for a short, hot minute.
So are you still going to continue the arcade going for as long as, you know, you're able to do it? Are you still trying to get new arcades and even like maybe, I hate to say this, but like put some of these games, like guys have been putting Mortal Kombat 11 and things like that in arcades. Are you experimenting, putting some new generation ones in there to try to get the younger generation in there to play the arcades? Or
we have at our location in Denville, we have games that are, like I said, Pong, you know, Atari Football, X's and O's. We have Stunt Cycle, the one when you jump the buses. Mm-hmm. So the Bronze Age games, all the way up to like a brand new Wizard of Oz pinball. Then again, we have the new, I don't know if you heard, but it's the sequel to Robotron. It's called Nex Machina, made by some guys out in Denmark or somewhere, along with Eugene Jarvis, the owner of Raw Thrills. We're doing the sequel to Robotron called Nex Machina, and we will have the only arcade cabinet of the sequel to Robotron. That's so, yes.
Robotron's an awesome game. That's got to be pretty cool.
Wait a second, though. Do you have a Tron? Do you have a Tron game in there? Because then you will make Glenn happy.
Not only do I have a Tron, I have three Trons.
Ah, he's got you beat.
And I've only got two.
I have an E-Dot as well. I have an environmental disc of Tron as well.
Oh, that's nice. That's
even
nice.
More spectacular.
Yeah, very much so.
Three Trons and an E-Dot.
Glenn,
Disney, he's got three Trons. Where's Tron 3? Come on.
We always tease Glenn because Glenn doesn't just buy one of anything. He buys like three, four, or five of them. And he'll put one in a bag. He'll dissect one, and he just lets the other one just kind of sit there. Just
here's on the shelf. For you, Glenn. The the Zaxxon in the back?
Right.
George and I came up with a plan. You see how much you can get. You point press the Zaxxon. You can only go up till you kill one Zaxxon. What's your score after killing one Zaxxon? The highest we got was 24,250.
I will have to try and get back to you. I don't know.
Write that down.
250.
Oh, 250.
Yeah, what did I say?
Five. I thought you said 550, but it's 250?
250. 24,250.
Okay.
Write that down. See, but yeah, as soon as you kill Zaxxon,
that's the score. That's it.
And if you die once, it's over. You can't die. Right. You keep going. If you die once, it's done.
Now I know you guys are probably using all original equipment. My joystick is my own Tron joystick. So putting it out there right now, I don't have an original stick. So I don't say mine's superior to a regular Zaxxon stick. So I'll do the best I can, but just note, with one caveat, it's got a non-original joystick in it.
That's okay.
So
that's all good. All
right, so don't have to post that. We'll post that maybe next week. On the retro button,
Doug,
kind of Doug, story
Doug,
I get.
Doug,
trivia. I'm going to show you a joystick. You guys tell me what game it's from. You ready?
Okay.
Uh-oh.
That's got like some kind of twister to it. It does have a twister on it. Let's see here. I'm going to look in the chat.
Say, it's not Akari Warriors. I can't say Akari Warriors.
What? What?
Did you say Akari Warriors? Warriors?
Yeah!
Yeah,
nice.
The old man gets it.
Very good.
He's been redeemed. Good job. Except for I don't know what that dance was.
Yeah, please don't ever do that again.
It's kind of like Egyptian, right?
Yeah. Just, like... His hands all special.
Sean Powers in the chat room. He got it too. He said Akari Warriors at this right about the same time. You know what? I've never seen. I think the only arcades when I was younger that I saw was like Donkey Kong, Pac-Man, Galaga. I saw WrestleFest. WrestleFest was one. Hogan's Alley. What was the other ones? There's another shooting one that used rifles. But I never saw Akari Warriors in arcades.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I guess Richie and I have in common is, you know, we were there. As the machines actually came out for the first time,
you were probably building them.
I was, you know, back then. I was definitely taking them apart, not always putting them back together the way they were. But it was just, and Richie can agree with this. When you went into an arcade, a pizzeria, or somewhere, and you saw this new machine, it was the first time that genre, like when Galaxian came out. You know, Space Invaders. Galaxian was the same but different. You know, it was just something new. I remember playing a lot of black and white games. There was Pong. There was Breakout. There was like a circus game with balloons that you played.
Yeah, Clowns. That game was great.
Clowns. There you go. Clowns. So all these, there's so many. Look at that. Yeah, I mean, yeah. See, Missile Command, Asteroids, Yars Revenge, Atari. I got the shirt on just for you, Richie. I'm not wearing my normal shirt.
Oh, that's awesome.
This is my lunchbox.
That's kept in pristine condition. I had a Space 1999 lunchbox.
Good choice. Good choice.
I thought so, but it's just like, you know, I'm just glad that he's doing this, and there's some other people that are restoring these old machines. I know I sound like a broken record with this, but there's just nothing like walking into an area with all these machines light up, hearing the sounds going, hearing a quarter go into the machine. It's just a feeling that's just not around anymore.
Well, it's the closest thing we have now to a time machine.
Exactly. Exactly. They do have arcades now, but it's not the same at all. Tokens, or you slide a card through. What the hell is that crap? You got to get a quarter. You got to beg some guy who's not paying attention to you. Here's a dollar. Give him my four quarters. And he's not paying attention. You kick him and get your quarters. Then you go into the machine.
But
you guys got to take a road trip and bring the show on the road after this this quarantine is up, and come on and check out my place. Do a live show. Well,
that would be cool.
Richie, I will definitely come down. That's without a question. I will be down.
Hey, and Glenn, we could go live from there because I have the remote broadcast. My family lives close to that, so I'm sure that would be an excuse for me to go back that
over 100 games on the floor, so.
Wow.
Nice, nice.
And I'll be laying on the floor because I'll be passing out from the excitement.
Good sleepover.
There you go. Well, no.
I'm not taking off my pants.
he's probably going to want to sleep next to that Pong cabinet that you have.
Oh yeah, I will definitely be having some fun time with that Pong cabinet.
Oh geez. Sure. Yeah.
So before we got to wrap up the recorded side and we open up post show, what is your favorite game all time that if you had to tell and your most prized arcade that you have currently in your possession?
I love the game Pole Position. Pole Position is one of my favorite games of all time.
Doug likes that.
I do.
Yeah, Pole Position. And not only did I get so lucky, this couple called me and they said, we have an arcade game in our basement that we're looking to get rid of. It doesn't work. It's broken. And everyone says that once this game breaks, it's impossible to fix it. If you want to come get it, it's yours. If you want to come get it, I get to the house and it's in the basement and they take the blanket off of it and it's Pole Position. And it had 30 original plays on it. They bought it,
wow,
brand new in the box, put it in their basement. They were filthy rich. Put it in their basement, climate controlled. It broke within the first 30 plays, and they just threw a blanket over it and left it there for 30 years. Oh. And I went there and I got it. After I got all the dust, the surface dust off of it, I have pictures of it. The dashboard, if any of you guys remember this, Pole Position, I guarantee you will never find a Pole Position that has the plastic dashboard, the original, that doesn't have a cigarette burn on it. This dashboard was like it just left the molding process of being formed. Not a single cigarette burn. And the inside of the cabinet was spotless because it was sealed and no dust could get in. So that would probably be my prized possession, the Pole Position. And pinball would be my Wizard of Oz. Jersey Jack made me my own Wizard of Oz pinball machine, and he actually inscribed it, says on it, one of one, Richie Knuckles edition, Wizard of Oz pinball machine.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's definitely a keepsake item that you'll have and cherish for your entire lifehood. I mean, that's something no one else will ever have, and you've got your own version of it. That's great.
And when he was 8, Jersey Jack gave us a tour of the factory and closed the whole place for us on a Sunday and let my daughter and I go crazy running through the factory. And he would give her like playfield pieces because Faithy really loved the Wizard of Oz. So a lot of good memories with that machine.
What, Glenn, what are you up to?
It's my little Pole Position.
Wow.
Look at this over here.
That's great looking.
That is beautiful.
And it does work. Got the steering wheel, works right here.
Where'd you get it?
Actually, believe it or not, a buddy of mine, his name is Bruce Yeager, actually made this. And it actually, believe it or not, it's got a TV plug and play in here. If I hit this button, I think it's been a while. So you can select, it's got Pac-Man on here. How do I go back? It's been a while since I played this one here. There we go. Gotta go down to quit.
Well, screw Pac-Man.
I agree. So it's got Pac-Man, Galaxian, Dig Dug on here, but Pole Position does work. Got steering wheel, got your gas pedals up here.
I'd love to play Pac-Man with a steering wheel. That'd be great.
It's actually a joystick too. So it's a steering wheel, but it does, you can see it does turn like a joystick.
Let me show you what Faith made. Hold on.
We always catch him at the wrong time. Yeah. So Bruce, if you're in the chat room, I know you usually watch the show. Richie's probably going to put in an order for one of those if you're still making them.
Hell yeah!
See,
I want one of those. That thing's badass.
Yeah, I mean, he did a great job. That's
so bright.
I don't know. He's breaking something over there. I heard. Oh, yeah. Now he's back.
So other things that we'll be selling on Sunday will be like mouse pads. Look at that.
There you go.
Nice little mouse pad right there. We got stuff like that. And then my daughter made this for me, but the eyes fell off. So I don't want to show it to you with the eyes off of it, but I'll show you as best I can. You guys can talk while I do this if you want.
Okay. Well, guys, we'll let you know real quick while he's doing that. We really appreciate everybody coming in. Who do we got next week, Glenn?
You always ask me that. You know, I gotta
come on.
Me.
You
I
have
to. I'm old.
Oh my
You're
goodness.
Prepared. You get 6 days' notice.
Well, while he's trying to figure it out,
I think I know who it is, but let me just double check.
We're trying to figure that out. Just to let everybody know, Good Friday, which I believe is like April 11th, I think it is, somewhere around there. We will not have a show. It's Friday. So that'll be the week we'll be off, but we'll be back the following week. We're booked all the way through April. And as soon as Glenn gets his stuff together and gets his calendar right.
It's together.
Okay.
So it will be Gamester, John Gamester 81 will be on next week.
Cool.
What is he famous for? I don't know him.
He's just a game collector. He runs a lot of game shows, and he's got, believe it or not, a collection much bigger than mine, actually, I think.
Wow.
I'll have to tune in because your show is a lot of fun.
Well, you got to come. You could call in every week, man. We'll have you on again.
Absolutely. I can call in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can call in just like you did, like you're doing right now. We can actually bring in people. Yeah.
For real?
We'll have people in a few minutes, actually.
Yeah, you'll see.
Oh, that'd be fun.
You'll see some of the audience members they'll call in here in a little bit, and when we go into post show here, which we're going to wrap up.
I got to tell you, I wish that we had more time because we didn't even touch base on like half of the things I have stories for you.
So we'll just do
part two.
Time.
We have a post show coming up,
okay, and good. So, but we do want to do this. Listen, this is why we tell you guys to come out for the live show. Some of the guys will be able to watch the post show. We keep that recorded on YouTube, but it's not recorded for the podcast. So if you podcast subscribers, guess what? You got to show up live to watch the show. So we want to encourage you guys, head on over to thetechbuzz.net/store. You guys can get the cool shirts. I know Doug, you and myself and Glenn Slacken, the new Retro Buzz shirts. You can see we're wearing them. We're buying them. We're sporting them. You guys can pick any color you want, get them made, shipped right to your house. We don't handle any of that stuff. Makes it a lot easier. And go check that out. Help support us and what we're doing. But subscribe to the podcast. Get out there. Subscribe to it. We're on everything, both video and audio. So you can download just the audio if you want to listen to it. Well, wait. You're not going to be listening to it on the way to work because most of you guys are in quarantine. Well, you can watch the video, so...
That's video time.
Working from your dinner table or in your pajamas or whatever your new work routine is.
There you go.
This is what I want to show you my daughter made for me.
Oh, a Q-Bert.
Oh, check it out. Q-Bert.
I love Q-Bert.
That's what the problem was.
That's awesome. I love Q-Bert.
Isn't that cute?
Very, very cool. So, guys, we're going to wrap this up. Stay tuned for post show. We want to thank Richie. We want to thank you definitely for coming on here. We'll definitely have you back on. And I'm sure you're going to have tons of stories, no matter whether we go through it post-show or even after that. You probably got a ton of stuff that we can go through.
Last thing I wanted to show you, I brought show and tell. You guys got the Ikari Warriors, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who could tell me what this is?
Oh, it's easy. It's a PCB.
Specifically,
I wouldn't know what that is.
Oh, I know what that is. That's the Lunar Lander computer from the Apollo mission.
Wow. That was close, but no cigar.
Oh, wait, before you tell.
Lander? It's not from the Atari Lunar Lander?
It's from Moon Patrol?
Wait, let's see if the chat room knows before you give it away.
Anybody? Bueller?
Read what it said.
Struggling.
Let's see.
Super missile attack.
Oh, whoa, really? That's the missile command mod from GCC computers when they were modding them.
This is the original part. This isn't the fake one that someone made and added on.
Oh, okay. So when Atari came out with Missile Command, obviously, you know, it did very well. But after a while, it started to get, you know, started to fade out. People didn't play it as much. So there's two guys in college who ended up starting General Consumer Electronics.
Yeah.
Right. So they basically reverse engineered Missile Command and made this add-on board that started a huge lawsuit with Atari because they were selling this board for $300, right? So instead of spending $3,000 on getting a new arcade machine, you put this $300 board in and you now had basically a new game. So they thought a few. they sold almost $200,000 worth back in like, what is it, 81? And then Atari went after them saying, listen, you can't do this. And then it took them to court. Then they found out in court that they didn't actually change any of their code. They overlaid code on theirs. So Atari couldn't touch them. But also Atari did not want them selling more. So they said, okay, guys. They bought them. They said, listen, what do we need to do to make you guys happy? They said, we want to make games. Okay, we hired you. Here's $50,000 for you, $50,000 for you. And they threw them in the corner. Literally threw them in the corner. They weren't expecting jack poop from them. They just wanted to buy them off. But then when the Atari 7800 had come out, these guys were sitting there doing nothing. They made another couple of games. And they're like, why are we wasting these guys? We should be using them. And then these guys actually developed, I think, 90% of the arcade ports for the Atari 7800. And they also, I think, made something else you may know called Miss Pac-Man. Have you heard of them?
Nope.
That was them.
Nope, we have
Crazy
no.
Crazy Otto came from these two guys.
No idea.
From MIT, dropped out of college. When Namco came out with Miss Pac-Man, they had nothing. They had Pac-Man and nothing else. These guys came out with Crazy Otto, and then they're like, well, it's kind of good, but can you make it something different? They made Miss Pac-Man. So people wonder why, like, Namco doesn't release Miss Pac-Man and license as well as they did before. And this whole thing with At Games getting some licensing stuff from these guys. That's because Namco, Bally Namco, never created Miss Pac-Man. That was these guys who made that board he's holding there, which I am really jealous of now, that you have that original board. That's awesome.
If your arm's getting tired, you know, you can put that pole position down.
I can.
No, that's the only exercise. That's the only exercise he gets during the show.
It is. And I'm hoping it's making you a tiny jealous. You have so many things. I'm hoping I have one thing that's making you jealous. I'm hoping.
I am so jealous of that pole position thing right now. I'm so jealous.
Okay, now I can put it down. Now you said it, now I can put it down. Now goodbye. Now you go away.
All right.
But yeah, that board, that add-on board, that's something that, again, you can't find. You know, you're not going to see that anywhere. So I put that in my missile command and let people play Super Missile Attack on the original hardware. And if you're a geek, it means a lot to you. If you're, you know, you could care less about this stuff that no one understands, but to play Super Missile Attack on the original board for some people is a big deal.
So you guys said at the beginning, not to interrupt, but Kyle Deacon, he was busy. He's actually in the YouTube chat and he's saying hi to Richie. He says, you know, he says,
call in, man. He's got to call in.
Hey,
come
fellas,
on, Theo, call in.
Glad to see you again, Richie. I knew you guys would hit it off. So thanks for the chat. So let's end this up so we can get some callers calling in. So Richie, again, thank you so much for joining us. And if people want to get in touch with you, your website, kingofarcades.com, and your business number 908-797-7901 if they want to get in touch with you.
That's the best way to get a hold of me. Text message me at that number or, of course, Twitter and Facebook. Also, my daughter made me do Instagram, so Instagram as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Want to thank Mr. Douglas Smith, Mr. Cool Toy himself. And if you guys didn't get a chance, go over and check out his channel. He did an awesome review up there of the Burger Time cabinet. If you guys have been wondering if something you should pick up or check it out, I know, Doug, you thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I think they did a great job. It has some quirks that you know, just it's what happens when you get multiple games on there. But other than that, overall, the presentation, I think, was a great job. It's a beautiful looking cabinet, and I'm happy to have it in my collection.
Awesome. So go check it out. And also want to thank Mr. Glenn Planamento. And Glenn just actually put up a video, which actually was very, like, he actually got me in the beginning. Yeah, you got me in the beginning of it with the whole Negan. And listen, you need to go over and watch it. It's on his new arcade that he has sitting there to his left. I believe it's his left, my right. It was really, really, really well done. The intro. I didn't watch the whole video because it's like an hour and a half. But
I basically, which you're basically saying is my other ones are not well done, but this one was. I get it. The other ones weren't well done.
No, I always like when you do this. I love when you do the skits in the beginning. It was really good. I thought it was real, like, creativity. You had it, man. It was there.
I didn't really do anything. I mean, Negan broke in again. My son let him in. You know, he just lets the guy walk in here, and he trashed my other one. So, you know, I always have more than one. He trashed one on me.
But he used your money and spent $5,000 on
it. Well, he did that too.
Yeah.
That's what Negan does. But I assume you're going to blame me for going long again. Is that my fault again?
No. We're okay. We're okay. We'll wrap it up here. I'm not going to have him go down where you can find him. If you guys don't know by now, we're like 15, 16 episodes in. But check him out. YouTube.com/
I am the coronavirus of the gaming industry.
Yes. Well, I don't know. Him and Richie both said that they were the cause of it. So that's up for you to decide. Stay tuned for post show. Those of you that are staying here live, the rest of us, guys, thanks for tuning in. Subscribe. We'll see you next time for more of the Retro Buzz.